The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We have Jody Jackson coming up, brought to you by Shamrock Farms. Jody Jackson, all things around the Cardinals on Sunday and stuff that we just see around the Valley. It's always great to have Jody with us. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, ASU, U of A, Lane Kiffin, the College Football Playoff Committee, who's going to get left out, all of that, plenty to get to with John Wilner. We need actually half hour with John, the way things are going today. There's just so much in the news cycle. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, we appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. You know, the weekend was, I would say the ASU-U of A game is what it should be every single year. If you're a Sun Devil fan, you're wounded today. If you're a Wildcat fan, you're cheering today. And that's really how it should be. It shouldn't be, well, we're 3-8 and we beat a 2-9 and their coach is getting fired, so everything is great in the world. No, you know, there's progress that's been made. For years, I've complained about the day of the game being played on Thanksgiving. I've complained about how it was on a network that nobody would see. Like FS2 one year had it, and they had one of their NASCAR drivers do the game, the play-by-play on it. The almighty Pac-12 Network, rest in peace. Like all the places that nobody's going to be able to see this game. And they play it opposite Alabama-Auburn, same day as Ohio State-Michigan. And every year I'd hear about how great this rivalry is. And I'm just like, it's not. Now, this past weekend, it was on Big Fox across the entire nation. Yeah, it started at 7 o'clock here, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. That's still plenty of time. You're in prime time. There's nobody opposite you that is of the magnitude of the Ohio State-Michigan game. In fact, they could only hype it up, which was great. And so I'm all about what is the best platform. Don't care who wins and loses. The game itself, very entertaining. Yeah, there were mistakes all over the place. There were some that believed at Camp Tonizona that Jeff Sims could either really help you or really hurt you. And, you know, these guys are getting paid now, so you have to treat them differently than if they're just high school kids. And eventually high school kids are going to get paid. He just didn't play well. And the offensive line didn't do much to help him. And, yes, he lost Jordan Tyson. And there's all of that. The other side of the coin is U of A just flat out jack-stumped ASU. Doesn't matter what the final score is. U of A was the better football team in every way, every shape, every form. That's it. Not going to play to the base here. And I was thoroughly impressed with the job that Brent Brennan has done. I'm thoroughly impressed with the job Kenny Dillingham has done. I'm going to focus in on, because look, U of A, you guys know this. Football doesn't matter. It's just kind of something to do between Koa Pete being on the basketball court and you being in March Madness. It's fine. But they're never going to be a football school, ever. Kenny Dillingham, on the other hand, as I've said through the years, to me, the real intrigue, it's not that they're winning 20 wins and doing all the great things, selling out every home game and all that stuff. That's fine. This market is one that when they don't have that type of season, what is going to happen? And now the pressure is really on Dr. Crow and people on Central Campus. Because are they going to give increases in salaries to the assistant coaching staff? I'm just talking about the assistants. I'm not talking about Kenny for a minute here, okay? Are they going to give raises to the assistant coaches? Because if they don't, it's another red flag among many on ASU's campus that the administration just doesn't care. And they can put on a happy face and talk about how everything's sold out, but they just don't care. So prove me wrong. If there's mass exodus among these assistant coaches, and some of them you want them to leave, some of them you want them to be head coaches. If they aspire to be a head coach, great, go do it. If it's a change of scenery, if it's a guy like Hines Ward and he wants to go back to Georgia, it's a no-brainer if he wanted to. But I feel as though the proof in the pudding for me, it's not what bowl game they go to. It's not if they win or lose the bowl game. What we're seeing is he's doing the best that he can do in running a football program that has a lot of issues behind the scenes. And they're not as many as there used to be, but there's still too many for my liking. And there's stuff that you'd be like, oh, well, that doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. Guys, if you want, he's never going to pull Lane Kiffin, I don't believe. But if you want Kenny Dillingham here long term, there's still a lot of work that the administration, and I'm not talking about Graham Rossini, I'm talking about Central Campus. They just have to get out of the way. That's it. They've got a, there's people there that are overworked, that are underpaid, that are underappreciated, not just in the football department, but throughout that entire athletic department. And so this is where, if the president really believes that, look, I can put this person on television and it's going to generate 3, 4, 5 million television sets. I don't know what the number was, probably around 2.5 to 3. Don't want to go too high on it, but in that time slot, 2.5 to 3 million. Okay, go put the English professor on. No offense to the English professor, they're not going to get on prime time. So, you know, if you don't understand where football lies in all this, that's a you problem. And I don't want to see this revert back. If they win 8 games every year, I'm pretty happy. If they win 8 games every year, I'm pretty happy. If U of A wins 8 games a year, I'm really happy. I want both teams to meet as they did on the field this last week. And Kenny respects the rivalry. I know this to be true. There's just things that I've talked with him about. You know, he respects Coach Brennan. I saw where some U of A people were saying, wow, the head coach at ASU came and shook all of our hands and all that. What a change. And da 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 da. Yeah, the old days are gone. Doesn't mean there's not going to be dust ups. Doesn't mean there's not going to be hate. Doesn't mean there's not going to be. But I felt like over the weekend there was a moving forward in this. In this rivalry, but now it lays at the feet of the president of the university to keep the train going. Kenny's here in this hiring cycle now, looks like. There's always going to be a surprise. There's going to be a job that comes open. There's going to be places that are going to at least pick up the phone and call as they should. But I'm very happy with how it went this year for both schools. Really am. The Cardinals. Your Cardinals just in every way, shape, and form. They're in this really interesting spot because Jacoby Brissett has been a valuable addition. Could you imagine if Clayton Tune were still out there? Or if they're throwing Keaton Slovis to the Wolves? The acquisition of Jacoby Brissett was a smart one. And he's throwing for his life. He's running for his life. He's getting the heck kicked out of him. And somehow they fought back in their game on Sunday. Talk to Jody about it here momentarily. But I'm just looking at this roster saying, okay, so where are you going to go with your quarterback in 2026? That's really the only question because it's not going to be Kyler. And do you draft a quarterback or do you say, we're just going to go with the veteran Jacoby Brissett? Or do you bring a Jacoby Brissett back and you draft a quarterback with a high draft pick? Is there a quarterback this year in the draft that you're looking at saying this is where we need to go, which again would be another first round pick? You know, after a while, if it's Matt Leinart not working out, if it's Josh Rosen not working out, if it's Kyler Murray just kind of doing his thing, there comes a point in time where it's like, can you guys just figure it out? And this is for those of us that have seen this same script for 30 years. Rinse and repeat. They're your Cardinals by the time we get to mid-November. Earliest they've been eliminated in I don't know how many years, but they're not going to go to the postseason this year. That's now mathematically not possible. The other story is Lane Kiffin. So I'm on the side of the street that these guys are mercenaries. That's why you should be blessed and happy to have somebody like, I don't know, Kenny Dillingham here. Brent Brennan could go to UCLA, I suppose. He's got ties there, obviously. We saw what a mercenary Jed Fish was. He came in, did his time, gets out of here. His name's all around other places. So Lane Kiffin's just one of these guys that wants to keep moving up the food chain and keep padding his bank account, and he's fine having fans. I love the idea of, hey, honey, can you believe Coach Kiffin is leaving? Yeah, well, we're going to go to the airport. We're going to stand behind the chain link fence. And we're going to flip off his plane. That'll show him. I know they take their football more serious than I do. I saw some of the footage of these fans that are just out of their minds chasing around a football coach who's leaving and on a private jet and taking his assistant coaches with him. And the players are getting paid now too. So it's the whole thing in college football is you can either have a mercenary type coach who's just going to be here for a few years. There'll come a point where LSU is not a fit. There'll come a point where Kalen DeBoer is not going to be is going to be on the hot seat at Alabama, and Lane Kiffin's name will be brought up, and everybody get all excited about it because that's what they do in the South. That's what they do. Out here, Kenny Dillingham, if the only place it would raise eyebrows is if he went to U of A. That's it. You know, if he goes to USC, if he goes to some other place, Brenna goes to some other place. It's another coach. In the South, it's just kind of funny how it works. That's disrespect. Really, there's about 12 million reasons of disrespect coming from LSU back to your coach. Now, the idea of him saying, "Hey, I want to coach the bowl game," that's it's so it's just wrong. It's just wrong. I don't want to curse here today. I really don't. But it's just wrong. There's nobody that can explain that in a way that makes any logical sense. Nobody. And so the way that it played out, it was an entertaining weekend. When LSU plays Ole Miss for the first time, there's going to be extra security. There's going to be all sorts of stuff. And that's just how it is in the college football scene. But 7 years, 12 million per season plus bonuses. And again, how does this come back on Kenny Dillingham? How does this come back on Brent Brennan? The raises are being given out in college football. They do impact the decisions being made here on campus. Jody Jackson is next, followed by John Wilner. I'm Brad Susmat. Monday means it's Jody Jackson, brought to you by Rockin' Protein. We appreciate Rockin' Protein and Shamrock Farms for their support. Jody knows all, tells all, or at least has an opinion on all of things that are going on around the Arizona sports scene. All right. So if I were to say to you, the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals in 2026 will be. Do you have an answer?
That's a great question. Right now, I'd say if I'm the Cardinals, I would sign up Jacoby Brissett. I know he's not the future, but I think he's doing a really nice job. Even tried his best Kyler Murray impression yesterday, scrambling out to make a little, to make a nice throw, to make it to have a touchdown. He had a pair of touchdown throws. My guess is they're gonna try to, gosh, I would say find a young quarterback, but where are you gonna find a young quarterback? The colleges are not exactly stocked with quarterbacks that look really draftable to play right away. That's a tough one. You can just switch him out for another veteran quarterback. I just think, clearly the quarterback, whether it's Kyler or Jacoby, is not the problem. But when you get the right guy in there, when you get a guy that can really lead you, it does make some things go away. Like Jacoby has fixed the passing game issue. I mean, they're putting up yards. What struck me though, Brad, yesterday. So, I mean, I don't know if I answered your question.
You
Did
didn't.
I?
You
I
didn't.
guess right now I'd go with
It's
Jacoby. I really admire Jacoby for what he's doing.
so
He's
do
not making
I.
all the right perfect decisions, but who does?
Well, he's also
So.
got an offensive line that's got two, maybe even just one player that you look at and say, okay, this offensive line is set for 2026. That's my whole thing is, okay, you can go change out quarterbacks. I'm in agreement with you. I think Jacoby Brissett is the right way to go. And, the Colts hit on Daniel Jones, right? So you found a guy who was in a bad situation, is getting his head kicked in. He gets into a different situation. Now the Colts have struggled here the last few weeks, but you go find that player. Like the Jets tried with Justin Fields. He's getting his head kicked in. Maybe he's in a space where he needs to be in a different environment. There's veteran guys that are no different than Jacoby Brissett. Kirk Cousins makes no sense to come here. But does it
Well, I
matter?
mean, the other one that sticks out is like a Mac Jones. Everyone's like, okay, well, he was great
Yep.
when Purdy wasn't. So I don't, I mean, the other problem you have is that, first of all, the O-line, they really miss, it goes back to, I believe, missing, Tip Brimen and, missing the whole complement of what they used to do in the run game. And yes, a lot of these guys are having down seasons. So now they have to play young guys in there. And, and Jonah Williams and Will Hernandez are hurt. And now, so you have young guys in there. But I don't want to crucify Drew Petzing here because he does have all these different parts. However, I've seen some mind-boggling decisions, and I almost think it's because of the situation they're in, but I think he's overthinking. I think it's the outthinking game because that's what I after yesterday, I go back to last week even, and again, you played a game. You played another game that was lost by just a couple of points. I mean, it was they went to overtime. I mean, it was like what's going on? You have this opportunity to win the game. And yesterday when they punted, when they the you know they had to punt the ball to the Bucks, and you're like thinking, can they go win this game as an offense? And for a minute, silly me, I thought they could. But again, head scratchers, not going to Trey McBride, not making sure that you find Trey McBride there, and there were some head scratching plays again where you're just thinking, a pitch to the boundary where you just don't have as much room. I know Trey McBride didn't finish his block there. There are just little things now, and I'm like, why are we outthinking? Because I didn't like I it was almost it was worse last week. I didn't like all the things that happened at the end of regulation and in overtime last week. I didn't like the And the whole thing when you tell me you don't want to clock it because you want to surprise them, and I don't buy you and I've been watching football a really long time, Brad. It will not make sense to me. You could tell me that it makes sense to you, but it doesn't to me. So I think everyone just needs a hard reset, but I do have to wonder if Drew Petzing, this overthinking, and I think trying to outthink and then overthink, it's not working.
Well, someone's going to get let go at the end of the season. The owner may decide to clean house, which I think would be the wrong move. I actually think Jonathan Gannon has shown me that he can get a group to play. They're still playing hard.
They are. They really are. You're right about that.
So the idea of, well, I'll just fire the coach now, the coordinators, that's a different deal. And if you decide to go with another voice and you bring in a young quarterback, and it's a new voice versus you have a veteran voice who can handle if it's a change in coordinator and bring a young quarterback along. That there's all these side stories to what's going on here. And I admire the fact that they're still competing, and I don't buy into the, well, it's just teams saying we got to get through this week and get into the postseason. No, that's not true. I've heard some of that. Jody's with us for a few minutes. I want to get over to ASU U of A. All right. I love how things turned out. So it doesn't matter to me who wins. What matters is the game was a buzz. It was on national television in a time slot, not opposite Alabama Auburn on FS2 or on the loved Pac-12 network that nobody was watching. Like this was all set up the right way. The outcome didn't go the way for ASU, but it did for U of A. That's great for our state because you know what I know, U of A fans don't care. They only care about foot basketball season. That's it. They only care about Coa Pete. So what were your
I
thoughts
don't
on
know
the
about that,
teacup?
Brad. I don't know about
What were
that.
your thoughts on the teacup, Jody?
Well, it was a really cool day. I actually did women's hoops in the morning, and just the whole day was pretty neat. To be back on campus reminded me of the old days when I used to spend a huge portion of my life on that campus covering ASU. And just you're right, the buzz, the excitement. I have friends that were tailgating. I walked into the arena, Desert Financial Arena, at 9 a.m. And they were setting up when I came out of the game. They were, tailgating was happening at noon, for the 7 o'clock game or 6:30, whatever it was. And yeah, I it reminded me of the old days on, when I used to when Fox Sports Arizona used to do the game, which I realize is not national, but the buzz was there, and it's even better that's on that, and that was sometimes picked up by Fox National and. I loved all of that. I think it was a well-played game on both sides. I think from the effort standpoint, clearly there were a lot of mistakes. I almost, coughed when I said well-played because it was there were a lot of mistakes, right? The kicking game. Yeah, what's she talking about? Five turnovers by the Devils. But I mean, the passion was there. That's something that you just to me you could see it. And it sometimes leads to more mistakes. When you want passion, that's what Kenny Dillingham was talking about before the game. I didn't hear Brent Brennan, so I would quote Brent Brennan, but I wasn't able to hear a lot of his stuff going into it. But, it's like he wanted it like passion, but under control and all that. And just, sadly, that didn't work out for the Devils very well. And I think it just showed up that, their plan of attack for Jeff Sims was a little bit better than what Jeff Sims was able to provide. But yeah, it was great. The fans were great, and I think they have been all season long. And I think despite the injuries, ASU had a really good season. I really do. I know it's hard coming off of last year. We talked about this, Brad. Last year is like my family. They went to the Big 12 championship. They went to the Peach Bowl. I mean, it was like it was really unlike anything we had experienced. In as Sun Devil fans, I guess you could say. And for U of A, I was really happy for U of A. I think they played to come back and have that down season last year and then come back. I love Noah Fifita, what he's all about, the loyalty. I love the loyalty. That's great. We need more of it in college football. So I agree. It was really cool. It was cool.
You don't care though because you're a Miami fan. You're standing on the table about Miami getting to the CFP today.
I mean, I'm hopeful,
You're gonna
but
get
look, they
shouted off the
disappointed me
table.
again with a couple bad losses, so it is what it is. I'm not gonna like lie to people and say they absolutely deserve it. They're probably in a pot with a few others, so.
Lane Kiffin, got anything on that? Have you been watching this whole disaster debacle, or is it just like, Brad, it's a coach who's going to go chase money and he shouldn't be coaching in a bowl game? This goes back to why I really like where Kenny is, and it's on the administration at ASU, not Graham Rossini, but over on Central Campus, to not screw this thing up. Just
Yeah.
don't screw this thing up.
Do I have anything on it? Yeah, I feel like all the normal things that I think everyone's saying right now is that it's horrible for those kids to have to lose their coach when they're having the best season. They're bringing this, there's this point of pride for the school. Is the calendar screwed up? How it got to this point, I don't know. At the point that he was visiting, like to be honest, I wasn't following it very close like a week or two ago. I heard it, it was all the noise on social, but I had things that I was actually preparing for, so I was more blocking it all out. But to the point where like he's going to Baton Rouge, yeah, people are gonna see you do that. People are gonna see you. People are gonna like you can't have that. In the NFL there's tampering, and I can't list you the rules by, I can't list you off the bylaws and the rules and all that, all the fancy words. But I know that tampering is when you're in the middle of a season and you're not, I just think, clearly college, it's lengthened out so long now. Everything is so long and but everyone wants immediate knowledge on who's the coach, who's coming, what quarterback's coming, what defensive end's coming, how much are we paying them? I mean, everyone wants to know all that. So yeah, they have to figure it out. But I think the thing that also kind of bugs me, and I kind of loathe going here. I don't even know if I want to go here because Monty Kiffin, I remember when I started covering the NFL, is a really well-respected man and everything that he stood for, and just like I don't know, like I'm not going to pretend to know Monty Kiffin better than his own son, but just to talk about Pete Carroll saying go and God telling you to go, and I don't know, like at some point, don't you have to be accountable for your decision? Like I'm fine with the guidance of God. I'm Catholic. I pray to God, but like and I would definitely reach out to other people to make a big life decision. I believe in that. But that just struck me the wrong way.
No, I think there's a lot there, and I want to talk to you about being in the transfer portal, not today, at another time, as a
Tease for
parent.
the next one.
As a parent, the next
Yeah.
time, okay? If you're up
It's a
for
little crazy.
it.
Yeah.
If you're up for it. If you're not, it's fine. That is Jody Jackson. She joins us every week thanks to Rock and Protein. We appreciate their support. And we're back with more after this timeout. Now here's John Wilner. John has been laying on the couch just watching football because nothing going on. There's no agents, there's no coaching carousel, there's no drama, there's no Heisman vote coming up. John just has the life. You're like, Brad talks to John Wilner every week. And John writes a few columns, and that's all he does. And then there's Lane Kiffin, and then there's bowl games, and then there's Kentucky, and then there's Stanford,
Michigan State, Stanford,
Michigan
Cal,
State.
UCLA, Oregon State, Colorado State. I mean, it's just.
They all need coaches. And so, and then there's the Territorial Cup, which I thought was great for a number of reasons. One, it wasn't on the Pac-12 network, rest in peace, or it wasn't on FS2 with their NASCAR announcers doing the game, opposite Alabama Auburn, and nobody could see it. It was on
Yep.
Big Fox. It wasn't a great well-played game, in my opinion. There were some moments. Jeff Sims wasn't very good. Offensive line struggled. But you know what? This is what the Territorial Cup should be, John. So where do you want to go? Lane coaches teacup. Where do you want to start?
Playoff. We get a playoff.
And playoff.
You tell me. I mean, it's been bananas, and I'm not sure it's going to calm down. I think the pace of the last 72 hours is going to continue all the way through Sunday afternoon when there is a storm of controversy over this playoff selection process.
Who's going to get screwed? Who's going to get left out? Who's going to be the one that says this should never have happened?
Well, so you have to make a couple to answer that question, you got to make a couple of assumptions. One is that Texas Tech wins, so the Big 12 only ends up with one team in, Texas Tech. And the other is that Alabama doesn't get blown out. I think if Alabama gets blown out by Georgia, they might be in a little bit of trouble. But I th most likely it's going to come down to Notre Dame, Miami. And does the
Notre Dame wins all
committee?
day long in that one.
Well, I
Oh,
would think so
God.
too, and the committee has told us that.
Yeah.
But if the committee does that, they're saying that the head-to-head just doesn't matter, right? That Miami's win the season opener in my home game, last second field goal, they will finish with the same records, 10-2, and Miami gets the short straw even though they beat Notre Dame. That will be the primary source of controversy because then everybody's going to say, well, what does head-to-head matter? Why would Miami ever schedule Notre Dame again if that's the case? Because clearly those kind of games don't matter.
Well, and so let's go over to the Big 12 for a minute, because I am in agreement with you. I think the Big 12 is going to be sitting there, and Commissioner was on during the game, the ASU game, and making some pointed comments and using his platform to make his comments. But I don't see a way where Texas Tech and BYU make it in together. Do you?
Well, so the prevailing wisdom is that if Texas Tech is in such good shape, they're going to be either fourth or fifth tomorrow when the rankings come out, that even if they lose, they're going to make it as an at-large. I'm not sure that's the case. They will be losing to a team the committee doesn't currently view as playoff worthy. They will have two losses, and they're going to be competing against a two-loss Notre Dame, two-loss Alabama, two-loss Miami. I'm not sure that they're going to be in, especially if they get beat by more than a touchdown. I don't think the Big 12 doesn't have the brand strength, the narrative power to win those kind of resume showdowns with the committee against an SEC team or Notre Dame. I think the Big 12 could be in trouble if Texas Tech loses.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes, Wilner Hotline. I want to turn the attention to the story that has made the national headlines, and that is Lane Kiffin. This could happen at most any school, but it only happens in the SEC, it feels like, where you have this going on and the coach wants to stay. Now he's gone to LSU. He has over 100 million reasons as to why he's going to LSU. Let's just start there. Do you find fault in Lane Kiffin? And is this something that all of college football should be looking at to say, well, we could have a coach just bail when they're in a spot to go to the national playoff and it doesn't mean anything anymore to them. It's just the dollars.
And think about it, just not, forget that it's Kiffin. Just a coach is leaving his team at the start of the playoff when he's got a chance to win a national championship. I mean, it's incredible. Just that alone. Now, the Kiffin factor, nobody should be surprised. You know that Seinfeld where Elaine dates the bad breaker-upper and he gets stabbed a bunch of times? Lane Kiffin is a bad breaker-upper, right? You got the tarmac firing. You got the Raiders firing. The Tennessee mess. Now this, it was going to end badly. There's no other way around it. Whether he was leaving for LSU or Florida or next year or the year after, it was going to be bad. Nobody should be surprised that Kiffin wanted to eat, have his cake, your cake, everybody's cake. Coach my team in the playoff while being employed by a rival school so that I can recruit the Ole Miss players to LSU while I'm coaching Ole Miss. There's no way Ole Miss should have let him continue. They did the right thing. The fact that Kiffin is being viewed as a victim by anybody especially the ESPN talking heads on game day, tells you how they are beholden to Jimmy Sexton, the most powerful agent in the sport. He represents Saban. He represents Kiffin. He represents anybody who's anybody. And basically, ESPN is kowtowing to Sexton's narrative that Kiffin is the victim here and Ole Miss should let him continue coaching. Of course he shouldn't, but nobody on the ESPN sets got the guts to actually tell the truth because they don't want to lose, they don't want to get
Access.
fall out of favor with Sexton.
They
That's
don't.
the truth. And it's unfortunate that ESPN, that has such a powerful position in the sport, is so deeply compromised on this issue that they're completely screwing up the narrative.
Well, it is they want access.
Yes.
For the fan that is wondering, why we're in the weeds in this, we're not really in the weeds. This is our industry in 2025 into 2026.
Yep.
A lot of these media companies are just going to say what the company narrative is, what the talking points are, rather
Yep.
than what needs to be said. And this has been an ongoing issue in our industry for many, many, many years. It's why one of the reasons I started doing this, because I'm not going to be compromised. I am not going to have somebody come down the hall and say, you better talk nice about this team when the team stinks. So this is where our industry has gone to. And it is unfortunate because
Yep.
I think the fans are sitting here saying, well, what is this all about? Well, this is one of those that it's a dumpster fire, and the dumpster
Yes.
fire starts with him. It doesn't start with the university.
No, it doesn't at all. And there is a bigger picture here that we should address, right? Get out of the weeds for a second. Part of the problem is the college football calendar, right? You
Yes.
know, the transfer portal is early January. You got coaching changes, player changes during the playoff. NFL, free agency, all that stuff is after the playoffs, right? But the problem with college football is college academics. That's the issue. The academic calendar frames the football calendar. Everybody starts classes in January. If you're transferring, you got to get enrolled in time for class to start. You can't enroll at a new school in the middle of February. That just doesn't work in higher education. So the transfer portal has got to give the players time to get to their new school so they can enroll for the spring semester. So the player movement time has to be in December with the current academic calendar. And that creates all the problems for the coaches, the players, the playoff, the mayhem, the unseemly look of having a coach leave his team right when the playoffs are going to start. It's all because of it all gets back to the academic calendar.
Hey, solve that. Do you start the college football season in August, first week in August? Do you have the bowl season wrap up on New Year's Day rather than going all the way to almost the end of January now, John? How do you solve that? Because it's a great point. How do you fix
Why don't we get Michael Crow on here and talk to him about
it?
it?
That's the wrong person to talk about that. That'll be
So
a very short conversation.
I don't know how you fix it. I mean, the Big Ten suggested you move the transfer portal to like April or May. Everybody else voted against that.
Yep.
Unless schools are going to let players enroll in classes in February and March, which I don't foresee, there is no fix unless you move football basically outside of college of higher education and create, their own entity, for-profit entities that are distinct from the university, and the kids don't have to go to class. I mean, I don't think that there's really another solution within the current framework of higher education.
Before I get you out of here, because the time is short, ASU U of A,
Yeah.
where do you come down on that one?
Well, how much would you have, what kind of odds would you have given me if I had told you August 20th that Arizona is going to finish with more wins than Arizona State? Not probably not
Well,
good odds,
you
right?
hey, come on now. You were one that suggested this back in August.
Only because
Suggested it.
I believe in the unforeseen happening with those two schools, right? Who figured in 2024 that ASU would finish with more wins than Arizona? It's just flipped. You kind of have to expect the unexpected with them. Look, I thought ASU, all things considered, if you told me ahead of time the Leavitt and Tyson injuries and everything else, 8-4 is a really good season. I think Dillingham did a great job, to be honest with you. And I thought Brent Brennan did a great job too. The changes he made in the offseason with accountability, with culture, the coaching staff, they all worked. Both programs did really well given the circumstances. And I think it was a great season for college football fans in Arizona,
Yes.
whether your allegiance is the Sun Devils or the Wildcats. Now we'll see if they can do it again. It doesn't happen very often that they both are good in the same year. We'll see if they can double up.
John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, and we're back with more after this timeout.